The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I'm going to read the Christmas story, but I'm going to start in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel, that's a weird name for an angel, but his name, the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Seconds before the angels appeared, how many think that the shepherds were thinking about angels? How many think they were thinking about heaven? Maybe some of them were. How many think that they were thinking about the heavenly hosts? How many think that, you know, they probably were just really busy cleaning up dirty sheep? They're probably pretty busy just making sure that the sheep were being well fed, well watered, putting on wool, putting on meat, just doing the very, very practical things. There isn't anything much more practical than farming, right? I mean, one of my connections with Sandy, you guys might not know this, but Sandy and her husband, Riney, used to be pork tycoons, if you will. And they had hogs. They raised hogs. And at that time, I had been called out of a steady paying job, you know, the thing where you have a paycheck come in all the time. And God opened up a door for me to become a livestock feed salesman. Now, I grew up in North Minneapolis, and I didn't know much more about the hog than I did about the farmer. Sometimes there's some similarities, but I didn't know a whole lot. And so I was a city boy that all of a sudden I was stopping on farms. This was a breaking time in my life. 3 years where Susie and I, we had negative incomes for 2 years. The third year we had we showed a positive income of $600 or something. Still to this day, I'm staggered at how we made it. I don't know how. I can't. It defies reason. And I don't recommend you do this unless God calls you to it. But we came out of that season not owing anybody anything. I mean, I'm more in debt now with a good paying job than I was back then when I wasn't making anything. Go figure. But during that time, one of the jobs that I did, because I wasn't making any money selling feeds, livestock feed, I would find odd jobs, and I would do anything, literally anything, including slopping hogs. And I spent a lot of my time slopping hogs with Sandy. And I tell you, you want to get real with Mother Earth, start slopping hogs and start cleaning up after the pig poop and everything. And there really isn't anything that supernatural about it. It's pretty down to earth. And in fact, while you're doing those things, you don't understand that God is working eternal purposes in your heart and in your life. I would not trade those years for anything. I would not trade those years for a big fancy house, a big car, a man. It really doesn't matter, because I'll tell you, during those 3 years, God works something in my heart of eternity. During those years, I'd had to stop on, now get the picture here again, a city boy. I mean, North Minneapolis city boy. And I'm stopping on all these farmers' houses, and you'd pull into a yard. This is one of my experiences. Pulled on into a yard to sell them livestock they'd feed that was more expensive than all the rest, although it worked better, but way more expensive. And so I pull into this yard, long driveway, and here is a farmer, big dude, standing with his arms crossed, and he's got his two big sons that are bigger than him, standing with their arms crossed, watching me pull into the driveway. And I have my little Toyota Tercel, and I pull into the driveway, and there's a dog at each rear tire, barking at, biting at my tires. And this is the kind of stuff that I had to face all the time. And I remember looking at those farmers, and they're laughing at me, with these dogs. And I knew that I had a choice to make there. I either had to face the dogs or lose respect with these farmers, So I thought, dogs can't be too bad, Maybe they're busy chewing on the tires, they'll leave me alone. But I got out, and they're really nice dogs. They're probably nicer than the farmers were. But, it's those kinds of things that work eternal purposes in us. And so you've got the Bethlehem farmers taking care of the sheep, just not expecting anything, pretty much unaware that there was a substance and there was a reality beyond the sheep. Beyond that starlit night, when all of a sudden the heavens opened up and standing before them is this substance. See, I want to encourage you this morning that the heavenly things are substantial. We were at a meeting here, a quarterly meeting that I go to, and the speaker made a statement that it just so impacted me, it will never leave me. And she was talking about how the Lord was showing her how the things of the Spirit actually have substance. And she said, she made a statement. She said, the Lord challenged her on it when she was, kind of arguing with God about it. And the Lord challenged her and said, Wendy, the created things can never have more substance than the Creator. So we run across scriptures like faith is the substance of things hoped for. How many of you have thought of your faith as having something solid under it? How many of us really understand that our faith that we carry is substance of things hoped for? We talk about the glory of God. Do you know the glory of God? The word is the kabod. And the kabod, if you translate that word, it's the weightiness. There is a substance in the spirit realm that carries weight. Have you ever noticed it when in a room? That there are certain people that when they get up to talk, it's like P.F. Hutton or whatever the guy's name was. What? E.F. Hutton. I'm not too far off. E.F. Hutton gets up and everybody listens. Why? Because there is a weightiness. One time we were at a political thing, and it was a grassroots thing. A bunch of us, nobody's around, but the senator was coming. And I remember when the senator walked in, there was this hush, whew, and almost this weightiness that came over the audience. If that's true in the natural realm, and you and I carry a weightiness in who we are, how much more in the spiritual realm? So the angels come and they make a proclamation. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. I want to suggest to you that you and I, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, you and I, as sons and daughters of the Prince of Peace, as subject of a kingdom where there is peace, I want to suggest to you that you have something that is of substance that you can give as you go about your Christmas festivities this year. In a nation, in a time, in a season where there just isn't any peace, where people are tormented by the questions of the future, where people have lost hope in God in ways that I've never experienced in my lifetime, where God has been maligned and even criticized and not just kind of, well, let's push them out. But there's a hostility towards God. I'll tell you what, with that hostility comes a lack of hope, a lack of peace, a loss of something that you and I carry. Do you know that you have an ability to walk into a place and change the atmosphere? What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is you carry something that is substantial in the spirit realm. It carries a weight in the spirit realm. Luke chapter 10, verses, 5 and 6, something like that. I need to move here. Jesus is getting together the 70. And the 70 are getting their marching orders from Jesus, and Jesus says something like this. He says, okay, go into the houses, knock on the doors. If there's a son of peace there, then allow your peace to remain. If there isn't any peace there, then let your peace come back to you. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about a substance that they could, by faith, purposely release into the atmosphere of that house. And if it wasn't received, they had the freedom to take that peace, that substance, back to themselves. You know, I pray for a lot of people. And there are times where you can pray and you just know the substance of what you're releasing is being absorbed into the people, into their hearts. There are other times that I've prayed and you just understand that I'm releasing substance, I'm releasing some faith here, but it's like it's bouncing back. What you carry in the spirit realm, this is really important for us to understand, that when you go into a place, you have something that you carry that is substantial. You can feel it. People don't understand that they can feel it because they're used to feeling with this, seeing with this, hearing with this. But I'll tell you, in the inner man, they are spirit beings and they are feeling things. They know whether you love them or not. Because love has a substance that's released. Why is this important for us to know? It's important for you to know that the giftings and the callings of God, the spirit realm, everything that we're pursuing, it's not like, woo, woo, it's the ethereal. We can't put our hands on it. We can't put our fingers on it. We can't. No. The thing of bringing that kingdom to earth means that there's substance that's being released. Sometimes initially it doesn't look like anything, but it's there. And that substance that's being released will eventually change the actions. And the stuff of this world will begin to formulate around the substance of a superior kingdom. How many think God's ways are more superior than man's ways? How many think that God's substance is weightier than the substance of the press, of the president, of kings, of nations? See, this substance is released by faith. It's believing who you are as a carrier of a kingdom that is superior, of a reality that is more real than what we see, taste, touch, and feel. I tell you, this is a temporary existence. That is an eternal existence. That is an existence that will absolutely overpower and shift and change things in this world. But I guarantee you this, what's happening on earth isn't going to change the atmosphere of heaven. There will always be joy in heaven. There will always be righteousness. And there will always be peace in heaven. And God doesn't get shaken off of his throne because a Hitler rises up or a, you name it. You name wickedness however you see wickedness. Why? Because the substance of that kingdom is the essence of the king. The spiritual reality of what's in heaven, what Jesus prayed, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth. let the substance of this kingdom, this glory, this magnificence, this king, let it be released to where there's darkness, where there's hatred, where there's foolishness, where there's sin and degradation. God, let the atmosphere, let the substance, let the reality of this kingdom become their reality. Are you feeling in your own heart the shift that's going as heaven becomes more and more and more real to you? Are you feeling the substance, the weightiness of who you're carrying, what you're carrying? You know, a lot of times you say, the presence of the Lord was just so good. There's just such an incredible presence of the Lord. Some people whack out and say, what are you talking about? You know? I mean, there were people that stood in the presence of Jesus and didn't recognize the weightiness of who he was. And sometimes that can happen. Now, it doesn't always happen the same way for everybody. The way I experience the weightiness in the presence of the Lord is different than you. There's no condemnation. There's just because I get weird and drunked out and stuff doesn't mean you have to. But nevertheless, the weightiness, the presence, the substance of the kingdom of who we're carrying, what we're carrying, is very real. And it is meant to be released into the planet so that you can walk into a place and you can release your peace. What does that look like? The other day, I'm sitting in the gym, sitting in the sauna, about the only place I really get to share the Lord with people. A young man comes in, and after a little bit of small talk, he opened the doors. I kind of opened the doors, but he jumped right in, and we just started talking about the Lord. And I was able to release. I was never more aware in my sharing the gospel of the weightiness of what I was releasing than I was at that moment. Why was I able to release the weightiness of that kingdom? Because there was somebody on the other end that was saying, lay it on me. Lay it on me. Let me receive it. See, I sometimes think that we try to lay the kingdom on somebody where there isn't an open door. We try to release peace where there isn't a son of peace there. Now, sometimes there's seeds that are sown, it's watered. I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying don't be surprised at times where you realize that what you're releasing is bouncing back to you. And understand that it is a weightiness, it is a substance that you released and that you're receiving back. Is that making sense? I didn't have a lot of time to develop this. I got a lot of good scriptures. Oh, man, I got good scriptures. Presence, the peace. I actually was going to talk about peace. Peace is substance. Peace is released by faith. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That peace is weighty. By faith. Peace keeps us and protects us. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, surpasses understanding, that it brings you a peace when there shouldn't be peace. And it will keep your hearts and your minds. It guards you. Peace guards you. This substance of peace guards you. It'll rule over you. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you're called in one body. Be thankful. Let the peace of God rule. Some translations would be act as an umpire. Others, you know, would be to rule, to govern. Whatever it is, it creates a pathway. It creates a direction. You don't know a decision that you're supposed to make? Let the peace of God be what determines it. It's not always the external. The external would have said, Dave, you're a city boy and you're going to go selling livestock feed? Ain't happening. After 2 years, would have said, you made a mistake. But I tell you, the peace of God in the middle of all the turmoil, weeping, crying because of my situation. It's a pathway. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and it's a fruit of the kingdom. Here's the deal. Peace has its limits. Peace will not compromise. Jesus makes a statement. He is the Prince of Peace, and he makes a statement. He says, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but I came to bring a sword. Whoa, wait a minute, Jesus. That's not what we're talking about here. I just had to be honest with you that that's in the book. But I don't have time to go into it, but it really is that peace will never compromise of the things that look peaceful but don't make for lasting peace. Peace will never compromise. Peace and the Prince of Peace will always walk in a way, work in a way, live in a way that builds for lasting peace. It's a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. And there is a difference. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that what we are preaching, this gospel of peace, carries a weightiness. It is substantial. Father, I pray you continue to show us what this looks like. Teach us how to labor in this gospel that carries a weight. Teach us how to release and to know when to pull back. Teach us, Holy Spirit, to co-labor with the Father's heart in all of these matters. Bless each one here today, God. I speak your blessing. I release your blessing over this congregation, over this body. Father, I release a substantial blessing as we go out and we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate family, we celebrate friends. Father, I release a substantial blessing that each one of us be able to go from here and be a blessing. Thank you, Father, for encouraging us, strengthening us, doing everything that you've done in our time together here today. In Jesus' name, amen.